informative, and engaging. Rick Munn. Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay. We're locked. We're loaded. I'm saying we as in the royal we. I'm talking about myself. You know, the Queen never would have said, I am locked and loaded. She had said, we are locked and loaded. Well, we're locked and loaded. That means I'm locked and loaded. I don't know about the guests. I don't know about Luke. I don't know about the one or two or three or four or 4 million listeners that are tuning in right now, but I can only speak for myself. But I bid you all a warm welcome, an Irish welcome. Yes, an Irish welcome, whatever that is. And I just want to say, yeah, we, my pronouns are we, they. No, I, let me, listen. Okay, welcome back to Locked and Loaded. I'm Rick Munn, and I am happy to have you all listening in today. I hope you're all well. I hope you're all wonderful. I hope you're all blessed, and I hope you're all getting ready for the weekend. How's that? Sounds a lot more professional, doesn't it? Yeah, here we are, 23rd of September. One day left. End of the world is nigh. Tomorrow, it's all over, according to The Simpsons and a few social media commentators. So if you have anything important to do, if you have to make up with family members that you've fallen out with a long time ago, or if you library books you need to return, today's the day to do it, because tomorrow, allegedly, it's all over or something bad's going to happen. But maybe it will, maybe it won't. I don't care. I don't give a stuff if I get hit tomorrow by a nuke or an asteroid, or I just simply wake up and live my life. I don't care anymore. I'm just living day to day. So I will not have tomorrow ruined by what might happen. And I'm not going to think about yesterday because it's gone and I can't do anything about it. Live in the moment. That is my mantra for today. That is my little catchphrase, and I hope it catches on. Hashtag live for the moment. Hashtag return your library books. Hashtag don't worry about a coffin because you're going to be reduced to a pile of ash imminently. So anyway, yes, as time goes by, as the show progresses, as I spend more and more time on air, I'm progressively, my mind is starting to unravel. I am literally descending into madness, and you are witnessing it, I suppose. I think that's why people tune in to Locked and Loaded now, because they wonder what's going to come out of his mouth next. What nonsense will he spew forth? What madness will he thrust upon us? Well, truthfully, I've no idea myself. I just speak. So anyway, it's 23rd of September. Welcome back. On the show today, we have, as per normal, an absolute blinder lined up. Yes, we do. Toby Brown is going to be joining us in an hour from now from Truth Talk UK. Trevor John, the legend, will be joining me in my last hour. And of course, Natalie Cheel will be taking her rightful position for the last time in a few minutes before the end is ushered in by an electromagnetic pulse, thermonuclear strike, or whatever, or a tsunami, or I don't know, some virus that we've never heard of. But before she joins me, just a blitzkrieg roundup, because I've waffled for too long here. There's a mini budget being proposed by, let me get the name right, Kwasi Kwarteng. I think that's how to pronounce his name, the new chancellor. I've heard him speak. Seems to be able to handle himself. Seems to know his onions. But then again, you know, what is it they say? Fake it till you make it. That's how I got this job. I give the impression I was a professional broadcaster. I give the impression I knew what was going on in the world. I don't know jack, and I've got no experience. I'm blagging it every single day. And that's like the British cabinet. Fake it till you make it, guys. If Rick Munn can do it, so can you. If Kwasi Kwarteng can do it, so can you. If Liz Truss is the Prime Minister, hell's bells, if she can blag that job, there's nothing you are not capable of, listeners. Please, don't underestimate yourselves. I'm going to open that budget up and break into it with Natalie. I haven't even seen it yet. That's how underprepared and lackadaisical I am. But I'm seeing the headlines. Many budget parents are facing tough talks with their children over bills. Translate it. No, you're not getting McDonald's every day. No, you can't have Domino's every day. No, you can't have a new iPad this Christmas because you got one last Christmas. And no, you can't have the iPhone 13 because you've already got a good iPhone. That's not a tough talk. But that's the talk people are going to be having. And then they'll feel pressure from their friends and relatives at Christmas. What did you get, little Johnny? A new pair of shoes. What? What? What about the latest PlayStation and the latest Xbox and this? No. Things are... Whoa, you're a bad parent. Bad parent. You'll be reported to social services for not upgrading the iPhone. That's what people are worrying about at the minute. National insurance will be reversed from the 6th of November. I kind of was aware that it was fast-forwarded in April. Now it's going to be reversed. I must confess... No, I'm not going to confess about my tax situation at the minute, especially not live on air, especially not with the Inland Revenue maybe listening in. But anyway, thanks for the reminder. Guardian, National Insurance, note, speak to accountant. Yes. This is what's going on. Interest rates have went up. Inflation's going up. People are flapping around in a right old state. So we're going to pause. I'm going to pause. We, I, they, them, he, him, she, her, ink. Og, Zin. I am going to pause and just inform you that we have an app. And if this monologue hasn't frightened you off, TNT forever, I don't know what will. But if you're still listening and you're some kind of weird masochist, you can download our app from the App Store or the Google Play Store and subject yourself to stuff like this on a daily basis, free. You don't even have to pay for it. Some people pay for services like this, but we'll give it to you for nothing because that's how we roll on TNT Radio.
The latest as it happens.
Every day, something new.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Natalie, please bring some sanity and reason to the show because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what I'll be like by the end of the show. Please, please grant me. Do something.
I'll try my best, but at least the period of mourning is now over. I managed to avoid all funeral coverage, which was a bonus, so I didn't have to see any of that. And then, as if by magic, on Wednesday, the Ukraine and the cost of living crisis straight back in the news. It's like nothing ever happened before, and we're straight back in.
We're back in. Period of mourning, like yourself, I only observed little clips here and there based on what people had posted. I didn't watch any of it. I had no interest in it. And, you know, all of a sudden this week, the focus has switched. It's almost like the Queen was never around. She's just a forgotten memory. And that's the way it is. Listen, that's life. That's life.
Yeah.
If I die or you die, there's maybe at best a handful of people that will actually give a damn. Right, properly give a damn. Some people will come to your funeral, maybe. Some people will shed a tear or two. They'll have a sandwich. They'll have a tray bake. They'll have a cup of tea. And then you'll be forgotten about in 2 days. Completely, utterly forgotten. It's as if you've never existed. In general,
even the Queen.
Including her.
Even the Queen couldn't manage more than a couple of weeks. So if she can't do it, we've got no chance.
No chance.
And
did you
notice as well, I've been told, because I didn't see the coverage, there were absolutely no masks, no sign of any COVID restrictions at the funeral, which is quite funny, really, when you think that everybody came from every single country in the world. And then they come back. Oh, and now they're saying it might be a super spreader event. I'm like, well, really, if it was that important, you should have considered it before, maybe, you know, because the world's deadliest virus and blah, 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 blah.
Well, it was a super spreader event, but not of COVID or Omicron. It was a super spreader event of evil and wickedness, and probably networking was going on. A lot of business cards maybe got exchanged so people can traffic things, you know, on their private jets and skip off to islands here and there. It was a rogues gallery, to be quite frank. You know, it was a rogues gallery in that church, abbey, cathedral, whatever it was. It was just a... just a foul sight, really, of who was there, the people that were there. Tony Blair, genocidal maniac, Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Trudeau. And Boris Johnson, Prince Andrew, yeah. Good old Andy, eh? He was there in the church.
But remember,
How did he not burst into flames or run out screaming like Damien in the Omen?
Nobody was worse than Public Enemy number one and two at the moment, which is Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby, because remember, they jumped a queue, which is peak Britishness. You know, Philip Schofield can get away with cheating on his wife, mm-hmm. technically, allegedly grooming a 15-year-old, befriending mm-hmm. him on Facebook, and then having an affair with him later on. He can get all that done, but not
perfectly acceptable.
That's you know, you can understand that. Honestly, we can forgive that. Yeah, obviously. No. Jumping a queue in Britain, no. Sack them.
Can't do that.
Don't forgive them. Cancel them. I don't want to see them on my television. Get them off my screen. Never forgive. Queue jumping
career killer.
Is the ultimate sin. That's it. It's done.
Ironically, Phil and Holly went way up in my estimation this week by simply pissing off the vast majority of the British public. So big salute to Phil and Holly if you're listening. I'm glad to see you jumping the queue. I'm glad to see you using your privileges. I'm glad to see you jump over the gormless plebs that stood for 22 hours in the cold and in the rain for 5 miles to shuffle past the box. Fair play to them. Fair play to Phil and Holly.
I would have had respect for them if they came out and went, well, yeah, we did do that and we made a mistake.
Oh, did they not admit it?
No, they got their employer to come out, ITV, and make up a VIP pass and said, they were journalists. And they were doing a job for us, which now has been uncovered that they weren't at all. And they were trying to, that's not good.
What is it with Philip and Holly, what is it with those pair? I mean, like, that's a sus relationship too. And by the way, if anybody's listening, I remember when I was in primary school, Philip Schofield was in charge of children's BBC, and he used to sit in, I think, a thing called the broom cupboard with Gordon the Gopher. Gordon the Gopher, I don't know, you probably don't remember. Or do you remember that? He's moved from one closet. He's came out of the closet in more than one way, career-wise and personally. Okay, so he's moved from Gordon in the closet to some young lad in the closet, and now they're out. And for people that are wondering what we're talking about outside the UK, these pair are on daytime TV. They're quote-unquote celebrities. People listen to them, love them, fawn over them, dress like them, emulate them, sad as it seems. And they jumped the queue while the Queen was lying in state, allegedly, and there's a whole hullabaloo. And Philip Schofield, the dude, a few years ago, he famously came out, which is fine, you know, he came out, so what, and on TV, and there was a lot of crying, and Holly was there, and he was crying, and he was lamenting how he's lived a double life, and he's been cheating on his wife for years, and his kids are devastated, and some 18-year-old's his new partner, and, Philip, it's okay, we love you still. Yeah, and then he jumps a queue, off with his head. How screwed up is the UK?
It's just utter peak Britishness. You know, let's not worry about the boycott, the PayPal, like, removing companies' freedom of speech. Let's not worry about Truss and her trickle down economics. No, let's not worry about any of that. Let's not worry about the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. No, queue jumping. That is what the British public are most upset about. It's just not forgivable.
I didn't figure, you know, I don't really, you know, I like to wing it a little bit on the show here, as you know, but I never figured that we'd be devoting this amount of time to Philip, Holly, some young lad, and Gordon the Gopher, but here we are. And just to cap this off, I must say, this made me laugh. Domino's Pizza, they have an app, and they put a post up on Twitter this week to say, look, apologies, the pizza deliveries are running a little bit late tonight, but Phil and Holly have just put in a big order, so you're gonna have to wait your turn. I thought that was funny. So respect to Domino's, classic class tweet.
It's been the best memes all week. There was like one of the Titanic, and they put, rather than Kate Winslet, there was Philip Schofield, and it said, sorry, it's only women and children. He said, don't worry, I have a VIP pass. You know, they've been everywhere. So, you know, he's given us some comedy, and we do like to
He has. And you know what? Our motto here, one of our many mottos, is if you don't laugh, you cry. So, yeah, again, you know, I'm not a fan of Philip Schofield or Holly Willoughby, but they've made me laugh this week, and their cue jumping antics has endeared me to them somehow, rightly or wrongly. So we gotta take a quick break. When we come back, a lot to talk about, the emergence of Liz Truss with her fang showing, this budget coming up, how's it going to affect this? Nuclear war's imminent, apparently. We're all getting psyched up for something big happening. So a lot to cover here on the show, and we'll start into that as soon as we come back from these ads here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
TNT Radio's O'Meara and Borgeson.
The Queen left her son with huge shoes to fill, and the question now becomes, who is he really? And what kind of player will he be on this current world stage that is so different from the time his mother embarked on her journey as a monarch?
Yeah, you know, Christine, it's going to be very, very interesting to watch this unfold. You know, whatever you think about the future of the monarchy, you have to admit that Elizabeth II handled it with great dignity and grace, I think. I mean, can you argue with that?
I don't want to say anything untoward about the Queen, because she did her job quite well. But, you know, the monarchy itself, for a lot of people, what it represents, how it got to be the monarchy, a monarchy, and so on, that's a problem for a lot of people.
O'Meara and Borgeson on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and Lies in American Education at SalemNow.com.
Bringing the credibility of the TNT Radio Network directly to your device with news updates every 30 minutes, Monday to Friday, and on the hour on weekends. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
You know, it's a bit sobering listening to those ads, especially in relation to kids and what they're being subjected to in schools right now. I know you've got a couple of kids. You know, my daughter's grown up a little bit now and pretty much out of the education system. I wouldn't want to be, preparing to put a four-year-old or a three-year-old into preschool, into primary school, into secondary school, into tech, into college, into university, etc. At this point in time, what a hell awaits for them, eh?
I'm very lucky because my children are a little bit older, so they're not in the primary school stage. They're 13 and 14, and my 14-year-old is very intelligent, and he spends his time watching, you know, he sent me this morning on the way to school, he'll send me a Tucker Carlson video or Ben Shapiro, or, you know, he comes home this week and he's like, Mum, we're having a special week. We've got a special PHSE lesson. It's all about LGBT, QIA. So they have to learn about all of that. Yeah. And, you know, he's the one that comes and goes, oh, can I get away with saying this? Am I going to get sent out of class if I can say this, you know? So, you know, I'm very lucky that the children are older and that, you know, they come and see me and we have discussions about it. So I don't feel that they're part of that indoctrination. However, would I feel comfortable with a four-year-old going in? Absolutely not. I think the education system would have so much effect on that young brain. Whereas, my children being that much older, they didn't. When they were in primary school, that wasn't happening at that age. So they've got those critical thinking skills now through my parenting and just through fairly normal schooling that I don't have to worry. I can still send them in because actually he's getting a lot out of it. He enjoys debating with the teacher and all of that type of thing. Absolutely, but not. Would I send if I had a 4-year-old now? No, absolutely not.
It's
they would not be
too much of a gamble. And you know, age is important because when a kid is like, well, you've seen it over the last two and a half years. Any child born since March 2020, many of them are severely cognitively impaired because of the enforced masking. That's all they've ever known is adults with their faces and noses covered, you know, because it's so important to cover your nose, leave the eyes exposed, even though that the, you know, viral loads can apparently enter through your tear ducts. But that's not the point. Cover the nose, cover the mouth, expressionless, masked up parents, masked up teachers, masked up brothers and sisters. And they're flummoxed. Now the masks are coming off, at least in some places. Kids are just stunned. It's like, what's this? What's this thing? What's this? It's a nose. What's this? It's a mouth. And these are teeth. Yeah. And where's your mouth moving? Why are you not a blank mask? It's messed up an entire young cohort of kids going forward.
I told you I was working in a special needs nursery and I put my notice in because these are children that actually need to lip read and stuff. The regression in those children, because they forced those children to see masks the whole time and then wondered why, you know, you suddenly got violent behaviour and a massive regression in all of their behaviour. So I am completely still upset about what happened, and I will carry on fighting for justice for those children. And what's particularly worrying this week, as I'm sure you've seen, PayPal have now taken away the funds, the accumulated funds of Us for Them, a charity that actually fighting for what we're talking about. And what I think is more worrying about that, why now Us for Them, right, have been fighting since the start of the pandemic. If they were going to take that away, really, that should have been more when there was a problem, when the masks were there, when they were fighting about school closures. Why take their funds now? What's coming? Why do they need to make sure Us for Them are not got the power or not got the voice? So that makes me question that there's something else coming with the schools. This is no doubt. Prevention.
Yeah, that business actually we'll dig into that whole PayPal thing because as you say, why now? But it wasn't just, as you know, thus Us for Them. There were at least five higher profile accounts suspended this week, all within the space of 24 hours. And I get why, and I don't agree with it, but I understand why some may have been targeted there, giving justification for this and justification for that. But Us for Them, from what I can see of them, they advocated for children's mental health, especially going through lockdowns and vaccination programs, etc. I can't see anything wicked or malignant about Us for Them, unless there's something PayPal knows that I don't know, which I highly doubt. And they've nobbled them.
I believe it's because they're trying to suggest they didn't follow the state narrative because they were anti-lockdown and anti-mask. And I believe that is the massive problem here. This is not criminal. They're not saying they've done something against the law. They are saying we disagree with their standpoint.
They violated their standards. And let me say this, there's another group that were suspended this week, which was Gays Against Groomers, which was a group of gay people who were rightly outraged at the indoctrination and the sexualization of children in classrooms. And they said, look, it's not right. This does not belong in school classrooms. They have also had their account suspended, Gays Against Groomers. Good group, by the way, big thumbs up to them. But ironically, they highlighted that there are paedophilic groups that are trying to raise awareness of minor attracted people, MAPs, aka pedophiles, aka sexual deviants, demonic child abusers, they're still have their PayPal accounts. They want There's to nothing make wrong
it a,
with them.
Yep. They want to make it a sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And they are pushing.
And PayPal are happy with that. PayPal are happy with that. If anyone's out there, by the way, and you use PayPal, I would advise you to stop and find an alternative, because there are plenty of alternatives out there. It may be a little bit of hassle for you. It may be a pain in the ass for you, but do it. Do not support a company that promotes pedophilia and suppresses those that are speaking out against those who bring up the subject and try and make parents aware of it and protect children. That's what you're backing and that's what you're supporting. Whether you know it or not, now you do know it, so you've got no excuse. So to sort of put a stamp on that one, boycott PayPal, find an alternative, take your business elsewhere and vote with your feet and vote with your wallet. The most effective and possibly the only way to vote is with your wallet. That's the language everybody understands. So that's just what's going on with PayPal at the moment. We've got to take a quick news break, 30 seconds, and we'll be right back. And one other little small thing I'll say about the PayPal thing that's concerning, which is the freezing of funds. This has already happened this year, but we'll get into that when we come back after the news here on TNT Radio.
Darren Metzer here with a look at your TNT headlines. Police in the US have made a chilling discovery after finding a dismembered body stuffed inside two suitcases inside a New York City apartment. Former US President Donald Trump has fired shots at Joe Biden in an exclusive interview with Fox News, blasting the 79-year-old for his weak leadership and undoing years of his hard work. And one-third of Australia's population have had their personal data stolen in what is believed to be the largest cyber attack the country has ever seen.
At TNT Radio, we never go home. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally. No matter what, we've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Okay, PayPal have suspended services for various providers or various organizations this week. Freedom of speech has been abused. If they've been against the narrative, it's been deemed to be unacceptable by PayPal. Fair enough, they've scrapped them. What are you going to do? Find another provider, stick your fingers up to them. However, and I've seen this earlier on in the year, I've covered this a few times, that they're also freezing funds that are in those accounts. Now, there may be very little in there. There may be thousands of pounds in there. There may be a lot of money in there. But PayPal also reserve the right to hold those funds for, I think it's a period of up to 6 months. And then take the funds if they deem that it is needed to cover the cost of their investigation of your business. Now, if you're self-employed or you're relying on those funds to pay your mortgage or pay your bills, you're screwed. And there's no comeback. You're on an automated response. Take it up with whoever, send us an appeal. That's no good if you need the money out today. You know, is that not, that's robbery in my opinion. You know, they might as well stuck them up with a gun and took their money.
We've seen it already with the Canadian truckers and the Just Giving or whatever charity sites they were. They did it as well. They stopped the funds. They tried to take the funds. We're now seeing it here, which is why I said it worries me. Because if they just stopped their account but gave us for them the money, okay, still not great, but it's not the same. By taking us for them's money, it almost is as if to say, well, we know what's coming and we don't want you to use that money against what's coming. It's a deliberate play here. But it's also the start of a social credit system, ultimately. It's as we know with CDBCs, it's almost saying, if you don't follow the line here, if you don't go with the government narrative, we'll just take your funds when we want. It's exactly what the social credit system is planning to do. Be a good person and you'll be rewarded and you get to keep your money. But if you don't behave, we'll just keep it from you. Is it not what's happening?
It is. And we saw the genesis of this in February in Canada when Chrystia Freeland, that foul WEF vice president of Canada, who is actually higher up in the pecking order in the WEF than the president of Canada, Justin Trudeau, also a WEF associate, she took great glee in telling the press how that the bank accounts and the commercial vehicle licensing for anyone who was seen in Ottawa supporting the protest for the Canadian Truckers for Freedom in February, their accounts would be frozen. Great pleasure in doing that. And also, don't forget, GoFundMe. There was $10 million worth, and $1 million got out. The other $9 million was frozen, and they were going to decide where to put that. And then there was a kickback, and they refunded the money.
And
nothing is safe. Well, you could say
the way they took the Ukrainians, the rich Ukrainians' money as well. In fact, they were just able to take that money. Oh, apparently you're any something to do with Ukraine. I can take your money as well.
Yeah, you're a millionaire. Freeze you. Take your assets. Take your yacht. Take your house. Take everything.
And again, this is what we're seeing so much, is that it's almost another indoctrination. When you see it, like we said, they did it to the Canadians, they've done it to Ukrainians now, we're seeing it with PayPal. It's getting people's brain used to it, almost like, oh, this is normal now, freezing funds and not giving your money back.
Taking your cash, we can do that. We can do it.
Yeah, and you know what people are like? Oh, well, you know, it's just life. Happens. Keep seeing it. So you'll accept what's coming.
Conditioning. And in Lebanon, I don't know if you've seen in Lebanon this week, people are robbing banks to get their own money out, all right? So the bank branches in Lebanon are now all officially closed indefinitely. You can't even enter a bank because the banks are saying, we need to hold on to your money or we're going to collapse. And people are going in to banks in Lebanon with guns and robbing them to get their own savings out. Their own savings. It's like, I have an account here. I need my money. Some of them needed to pay for medical emergencies, to pay for food, to pay for this and that. And the banks weren't letting them. So they robbed the banks to get their own money out. Now all the branches are shut. Finished. The banks are closed.
How far, when you look at our economic situation and what's happening, we know in this country now, all the banks have put up notices saying, we will not give you your money anymore, even though it's your money. You need to show us evidence and an invoice about what you're going to spend it on. You can't just go get your money anymore. I bank with NatWest. I can't just go there and say, can I have my £2,000 in the account? They'll say, well, no. What are you going to spend £2,000 on? So you know, it doesn't matter that it's my money. They apparently it's to protect us again from money laundering. You. But of course it's not.
You. Of course it's to protect because you.
Because they can't afford. They've not got enough money, the bank. So if everyone went and took out their money, this is nothing to do with that. It's saving their own asses. So when we're moving forward with the economic situation as it is, soon they are going to stop, like they're getting conditioning you with freezing accounts. They're not going to let you have that money soon. Well, they can't afford to let you have the money soon. That's what's going to be. And then it moves towards a cashless society again. So when you're saying what's happening there, you're thinking, are we that far away with what's going on to people actually going up to the bank and you know, rioting and saying, I want my money? I'm not that sure.
No. And you know, there's two ways you can bank now. Obviously, you can go into a branch the old-fashioned way, or you can bank online. And there's no escaping this, because the more I think about it, I have a business account and I transfer some funds from that to cover my day-to-day living expenses into a current account. But before I transfer anything anywhere, I have to answer two questions. And there's no option not to answer them. If you don't answer them, you can't proceed to the next screen. And even if you want to call on a call center, they will also inform you, we cannot process this unless you tell us. Now, you could take the hard line and say, well, I'm not doing that. And then they'll just say, well, then we're not going to transfer your money. Yeah. End of. And you can argue until you're blue in the face. You can complain to the ombudsman. It doesn't matter a jot. And it's the same with a bank branch. And here's the worst thing. You get these little jumped up creeps that are power hungry, and they could be sitting in there and they may not just like the look of you. So I'm like, hello, Natalie, how can I help? I'd like to withdraw my money, please. What for? It's none of your business. Excuse me. It is my business. Now, what do you want it for? Well, I don't have to tell you. Yes, you do. And if you don't, I'm going to flag your account. Well, I want to complain. Okay, I'm stopping this transaction right now. You're highly suspicious. You're aggressive. I suspect you of money laundering. And for your own protection, you're not getting your money. And you're like screaming and kicking up. What are you going to do? You'll have to do a Lebanon. You'll have to go and get a piece, an AK-47, and go in there and rob the damn bank to get your own cash out. That's the position. That's the position we're in.
Well, I was going to say I've had two experiences, funnily enough, with you saying that. I got the phone put down on me from Virgin Media last week saying, I will not speak to you while you speak to me on that tone. I literally sat there and thought, this man just put down the phone on me. And I phoned back up. I said, I didn't swear. I didn't insult. I didn't name call. Mm-hmm. I simply was pointing out the corrupt levels of the whole company, and so, because I could see the whole thing was a con. And what we've been trained and conditioned now is people aren't allowed to talk out. So they're now being told, these companies, right, that if anybody's questions, you know, you're not allowed to question anything, just put the phone down. Vodafone, I was in Vodafone yesterday, who are an absolute con of a company. £150, I went back in to say, I'm at the end of the upgrades, I need three new phones and save a bit of money. He basically went, no, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. You're going to have to spend £200. So I then basically said, I know you're a salesman. I know that you can do anything. But do you know what he asked me to do? He said, I need you to leave the shop, madam. I went, excuse me? They said, you're causing a scene. This isn't appropriate. You need to leave the shop. And again, I said, but I've not name called. I've not insulted. And I've not sworn at you. I am making a complaint about the level of corruption, of capitalism, of the fact that you are not remotely interested in trying to save me money. You're only interested in commission. He didn't care. He wanted me out of the shop. I said, well, I am going to go out of the shop. And I went to another place. I saved £50 a month. I then came back into the shop to go tell him. I went.
Do you want to tell us where you saved your money? Do you want to give the other place a plug, maybe?
Not particularly, because it's not like they're any better, because it's only Tesco Mobile. But the point is,
Tesco Mobile, there you did it.
Yeah.
But I'm with them too, by the way. They're actually pretty good.
That's why I went there, because they don't sell. They're not on commission. But the point is, he actually lied. So I went back in and said, you tried to remove me from the shop. I now have evidence that you lied. You told me that there was not a better deal on the market. I managed to find one. And I've got the manager come out and apologising to me. But the point I was trying to make about those two stories is the same with the banks. It's another conditioning system. Mm-hmm. I went back in and every other person's just sat there and signing their new contracts. Nobody else is questioning like I did. Mm-hmm. We've all been trained like a compliant sheep. Oh, you're not allowed to be rude to the people. They'll send you out. You're not allowed to question anything that anyone says. It's all part of the same game. All these big corporate companies, they're selling the same lies.
They are. And by the way, on this conditioning business, you know, we have talked in the past about they seed things into your head in advance. So they're seeding the possibility of a nuclear war. They're seeding the possibility of a banking collapse and so on. I got two emails this week from my business bank to remind me that if they collapse, I may not get my money out, right? So it was a friendly reminder, okay? And people have this misconception, okay, that if your money's in the bank, well, okay, if they collapse, at least I'm covered under the Financial Services Compensation Scheme up to 85,000. Read the small print. It says you may be covered up to 85K. Trust me, I worked in a bank. You're not covered. You are absolutely
not if every bank goes, right?
Correct.
So if there's a full economic recession, that does not cover you remotely. And that's predictive programming. So they are, by sending you that, it's doom mongering, but it's also trying to save their asses again.
Correct.
They're almost saying, this is what's due to happen.
It's going
to
happen. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. It will happen.
This time, by the way, there will be what's called bank bail-ins rather than bank bail-outs. So in the past, when the bank was a little bit ropey and it was about to go to the wall, the government stepped in and bailed them out. Now what will happen is they will bail in. What will bail in? You will bail in. Your money will be taken by the bank to keep them afloat. Oh, they can't do that. Yes, they can. Oh, well, I can take my money out. No, you can't. They'll simply change it to be classed as an investment. Say there's a notice period before you can withdraw it, and you can only withdraw it if conditions are favorable and there's not a run in the bank, which inevitably there will be. And what they might do is issue you with some worthless shares in said institution that is falling apart financially anyway. It's an absolute racket. So if you're well off, maybe some of you are, maybe some of you aren't. If you have any cash at all, I'm not telling you what to do, but don't be alarmed and don't be surprised if you wake up someday and you try and make a payment and it's like, sorry, your funds are not available. What? I have 10 grand in there. Yeah, it's ours now.
Doesn't matter.
And we're going to use it to stay afloat. Tough. Go and complain. Go to the ombudsman, Natalie. It's ours.
And we know that what also might happen, it's going to be linked to a digital ID. So that's the other thing. You will only have access to your money if you sign up to this. That's the next thing as well. There's just so many possibilities of how they can freeze your accounts and how you won't be able to get your money. And that's all part of the threats and the fear mongering and to ensure you're compliant.
It is. One thing, and you touched on it there, I want to highlight what you've just said. None of what is coming can come unless they have a digital ID system in place. So the absolute focus going forward needs to be an awareness campaign that people under no circumstances, under no threats, under no amount of pressure should accept a digital ID because they need a critical mass of people to buy into it to enable them to usher in the CBDCs. So we need to forget about the CBDCs, actually. Our focus needs to be on digital ID because one can't happen without the other. And in fact, to be honest with you, this is triggering something in my head. I need to really get focused on really highlighting this. And if there's any campaigns going on at the minute, I would say that one of them must be the digital ID. Just say no to digital ID, no matter what, no matter who you are.
We've said in for months, I've been on here since January, digital ID has been the end game. That's why COVID passes were brought out. They were hoping that the COVID pass would be the digital ID. They were hoping that was the first thing that they could do. Mm-hmm. It didn't work, so they're going to bring it in by another means. We saw that vaccine passes didn't work because people stood up to it. This isn't a definite. If we stand up to digital IDs, we still have a chance of stopping the end game. And that's why it needs to be pushed. People need to understand that more than anything else.
They do. And you know what? That's a very good point. And it's something maybe because sometimes you lose focus a little bit on what you talk about and what you're getting behind. And that's absolutely crucial that we all get behind this and make people, not just to, like you and I know this, we'll be resisting it, I dare say. We need to really make people who aren't, you never mind stopping them from getting jabbed. That's a medical thing. They'll listen to you, they won't. But if they understand the gravity of going cashless and moving to digital IDs, at least we can say we've banged on the drum and we've made them aware of it. But like everything else, you can lead a horse to water, but maybe you can't make it drink. We've got to take one more quick break here. When we come back, maybe have a quick glance at some of the things that are coming out from the budget, which has happened at 9:30, so it's now 10:46. So some snippets are filtering through now. Interesting, of course, everything's Putin's fault, as you would expect. So we'll get into that in a little bit more detail when we come back after the ads here on TNT Radio.
Have we reached the Book of Revelation's end times? Is climate change driving the end of the world? Many college professors say so.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Peace Professor Michael Clare of Hampshire College had the following to say in Salon Magazine. If our Earth continues heating at its exponential rate, our post-apocalyptic fantasies could become everyday realities. And here's the real apocalypse. Get ready. Here's what he said. We envision rising temperatures, prolonged droughts, freakish storms, hellish wildfires, rising sea levels, food riots, mass starvation, state collapse, mass migrations, and conflicts of every sort up to including full-scale war could prove even more disruptive and deadly. Persistent drought and hunger will force millions of people to abandon their traditional lands and flee to the squalor of shanty towns. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what your children are being taught at so-called institutes of higher learning. Take back your kids' education from professors like Michael Clare at Hampshire College. No more climate apocalypse. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Several Soros-backed DAs are facing recall petitions, including George Gascon, DA, of crime-riddled Los Angeles, and Pariza Degani-Tafti from Arlington County and City Falls of Church, Virginia. Steve DeSano of Fairfax County, Virginia, elected in 2019, endorsed a progressive platform typical of the left-wing DA faction, making official policy not to prosecute more than 20 different crimes, including shoplifting for goods under $1,000, prostitution, and indecent exposure. Loudoun County District Attorney Bhuta Bibaraj, who championed anti-incarceration, made headlines for personally seeking jail time for Scott Smith, a father who was arrested for misdemeanor disorderly conduct at Loudoun County School Board meeting while protesting the school board's cover-up of his 14-year-old daughter's rape in a school bathroom. Bibaraj is now facing a recall petition.
Why listen to TNT Radio? Because friends don't let friends listen to mainstream media. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Life's a bit random. Do you ever remember that band, The Corrs?
Yes, I remember. Jim Corrs was the one that he was talking out against this at the start, the brother.
Yeah, well, he has just, he has a Telegram channel and he's just reposted one of my videos on the whole PayPal thing. It just got a notification came up and it went, Jim Corr News. I went, is that that dude from the Irish band, The Corrs? Yeah, and it looks like it's him. So isn't it bizarre?
He got censored. He was one of the first people to get his account suspended from Twitter. Yeah. So he was quite early on speaking out against it.
You know, here's the randomness of life. You know, I remember back in the 90s, was it, or the 80s, they were on top of their game, and you know, they were selling millions. Yeah. I wasn't a big fan, I must admit, they're not my cup of tea, but yeah. Irish exports, and everybody loved them. And you know, how bizarre is it that, you know, down the line, that one of them is, you know, an anti-establishment dude or dudette, and they're taking what I'm saying in the car and posting it on their videos. How weird is life?
And then you get bands like Rage Against the Machine, who then completely sign up to a tyrannical system. So it's the world.
Rage Against the Machine. I said this yesterday. Many a house I destroyed whilst listening to Rage Against the Machine when I was a teenager.
Me too. I love Rage.
Hell's Bells now. I remember you did a video on Twitter once about that. Killing in the name of. It was a very rude one, actually, very nasty one, but it was very funny. That was ages ago. Well, that was you, wasn't it? Yeah. You put this weird blur thing on it, didn't you? And you were giving obscene gestures and shouting and swearing, weren't you?
But then that's the whole point, yeah. But that's the whole point with Rage. And then suddenly they go and do the first place to be vaccine passports. I'm against the system, but
they're now Rage for the machine.
Yeah, exactly.
Jim Corr and Fred, that's another one. Love them or hate them. Who would have thought that they would pick up the mantle and run with it rather than, you know, AC/DC or, you know, Metallica or whatever? No, Right Said Fred and Jim Corr, that's who the vanguard is in the music industry. So respect to them, to be fair. Respect to them. They've stepped up to the plate, grew up, got a spine and spoke out.
Well, actually, when you look into Right Said Fred, they were one of the original ones that went and did their own label rather than signing up, which is in some ways why they didn't get as big. So they were, in a sense, doing their own thing even back in the day. However, they would not have been the people that I would have put as the pillars of the freedom of speech and the fight.
Isn't it a funny old life, isn't it? Because you see, thinking about it, without all this nonsense going on, I would never have got onto Twitter. I wouldn't have ended up doing this. I would never have got speaking to you, and we wouldn't have been talking about Rage Against the Machine, Right Said Fred, and Jim Corr. How bizarre is all of this? You know, when you think about it, you have to laugh. Speaking of, well, not laughter actually, but bizarreness. We still have a minute or two. Kwasi Kwarteng's mini budget, key points at a glance. So, opening remarks, said the government was never going to let households face soaring energy bills caused by Vladimir Putin's war in Ukraine. So, of course, Putin is responsible for absolutely everything that's going wrong in the world now. If you read and believe what the mainstream media says, the Chancellor says there will be three key steps. So here's what they are. Number one, an energy price guarantee. They guaranteed to charge you twice as much as what they did last year. And people are like, that's wonderful. Okay. Secondly, equivalent support for businesses, aka printing money, aka inflation, aka constantly rising interest rates, which will make people homeless. But they're taking that as a plus point. And finally, an energy markets financing scheme delivered by the Bank of England, aka printing more money. So in a nutshell, Natalie, they're going to whack up inflation, whack up interest rates, and blame everything on Putin. That's the budget in a nutshell.
Well, they've kind of released all this a couple of days ago, as they normally do. It comes out in the press. So the first thing Truss did is give all the millions to the Ukraine and then said it's a price worth paying. So apparently she gets to decide without any democracy, just, you know, give that to Ukraine. But on the same day, Joe Biden put a tweet out and said, I'm sick and tired of trickle-down economics. It has never worked. And every single policy that she has put forward in this emergency budget is exactly that. It is helping the wealthy. And she's actually come out and said, I don't care if I'm unpopular. By helping the wealthy, it's going to trickle down to the poor. And everyone knows that studied economics or has a basic knowledge of it. It literally has a history of not working. All that happens is they tax evade it and then they put it into their offshore accounts. Trickle down economics never trickle down. It never reaches the poor. No. The rich get richer. The poverty gap increases. So she slashed stamp duty so no new time buyers can come in. It just feeds the property market for rich, you know, buy to let mortgages. She's taken off the corporation tax for big bankers. She's stopped the city cap bonuses because that's going to help the poor.
That'll help me. I know that. I know it's going to help me somehow. I don't know how, but I know it will.
It's going to trickle down to me.
Trickle down to me. You know what trickles down? I'm not going to tell you what trickles down, but that's going to trickle down the way other things trickle down. You know what I mean?
It's unbelievable. And then, she promised it in her, you know, chat before she became elected or selected that she'd make a trade deal with the US. No, that's off now as well. That's what they promised in Brexit. That's gone. So literally you're sitting there and watching this. It's like the worst thing ever for the poor. We're printing money for the energy companies.
Yep.
And then, oh, we're gonna help businesses for 6 months with their energy. Yeah, but after that, they won't have any help. Well, how do you think they're even going to get through the next 6 months?
They won't be there. They won't be there. What they're saying is we're going to keep their lights on until they're permanently pulled their shutters down. And to quote, let me quote here, okay? I quote, and this is just hot off the press. People need to know that help is coming. It's coming. So's Christmas. And help is indeed coming. Listen, if you're on fire right now, like literally on fire, and you phone 999 and you say, I'm on fire. And they go, okay, help is on the way. That's not much good. You need to be extinguished now. Okay. So even if help is coming, people need that help right now. And I had someone on this week, we were talking about fracking yesterday, actually, Roger Tattersall, absolute legend. That guy should be the prime minister. He's an absolute legend, big Yorkshireman, 6'8", Rog tall bloke on Twitter, follow him. He was talking about fracking. He said, even if they decided, which they have to go ahead with it, it's going to take forever to get it going and to get it up and running. People need help now. It's all fine saying help is coming, help is coming. That's no good when you're bleeding to death or you're on fire or your house is up in a puff of smoke,
That thing on the businesses is a complete joke, because even with the energy cap for businesses, it's still higher than what they were paying. So that will only be 6 months. So they're probably going to go out of business anyway. So even if they manage to hold on for 6 months, when it goes up to four times the price, what are they going to do? Whee! Thanks, government. You helped me for 6 months. I'm out of business anyway.
this is the translation of all the stuff that we're saying, you and I are saying. Let me condense it into one sentence, right? Help is coming. How are you going to help me? We're going to double your bill. That's the help. And literally, we're going to cap your bill at twice what it was last year, and help is on the way. And people think that they're saying, this is wonderful. This is what we need. They're taking a hammer. They're taking a hammer to all the old Tory policies in the late. No, they're taking a hammer to you. They're taking a hammer to your family, your children, your life, your future. That's what they're taking a hammer to. And you know what? It's a big hammer, Natalie. It's not a little rock hammer. It's not a little ball peen hammer. It's a big sledge, and they are hell-bent on destroying whatever is left of great, quote, Britain, unquote. Oh, hell's bells. You know, we could actually be doing with another hour here, did really, because there's a lot of material here from Kwasi Kwarteng. There's a lot of material, but it's going to have to wait. Maybe, if don't forget, if we survive the electromagnetic pulse and the nuclear strike tomorrow, if you're still alive next week, and I'm still alive and the station hasn't been knocked out by radioactivity, we will resume conversation as normal. But for now, Natalie Cheel from Reading, thank you so very much for taking your Friday morning to talk and listen to me and talk with me and be subjected to my rantings. It's always a pleasure. Thank you very much. And I hope you have a wonderful, peaceful weekend, whatever's left of your life. Enjoy it.
You too.
Hopefully I'll be back after the news with Toby Brown from Truth Talk UK. Don't go away. More of the same is incoming.